Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, I have a very special guest. Her name is London DeLeon. She is an actor, model, music entrepreneur, politician, and just so much more. London is best known for her role as Joanne Umutu, the hit television series Vital Signs, and recently starred in the award-winning television drama Somebody's Child alongside Emmy Award nominee Lynn Whitfield. She also co-starred in the hit comedy We're the Millers with Jennifer Aniston, Jason Sudeikis, and Ed Helms. You can catch her starring in the TV movie 12 Dog Days Until Christmas, portraying the wife of Reginald Bell Johnson. London is also the founder and CEO of Dirty Records, and that's DirrtyRecords.com. I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. As well as in the show page description are a couple of YouTube links, one to a scene from Vital Signs and the other a trailer from Somebody's Child, and also a link to her information at IMDb, the independent movie database, imdb.me. Again, you can find all of those links in the show page description. So with that, I would like to welcome London to the show. Let me see here. We got our studio here is just a little bit of hangout there, and I believe we have London now. Hello, London.
How are you? Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, thank you very much for being here. I just, you know, I the more that I found out about you, the more intrigued I am. you're a really a very talented woman in so many areas.
Oh, wow. You're too kind. Thank you so much. That means so much to me. Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. And we, I'm very familiar with your hometown. It's Marion, correct? Marion, South Carolina?
Yes, Marion, South Carolina, very close to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, that's right up the street from where I'm normally located. Actually, I'm coming to you live from Las Vegas this week, right today. So, but
look at that.
Yeah, we get around here. So, well, listen, I there are so many things I want to talk to you about. I mean, you have so many roles that you fill, and I really want to learn a little bit about each of those and, you know, find out how you do it. Because, I mean, you know, there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there who find it difficult to juggle, you know, the many roles that they fill, and you have so many. And so, first of all, I'd like to start with how and why did you follow the entrepreneurial path?
In my bio, I don't know if you read it or not, but my dad, he was the leader in, he was the lead singer in a gospel band. And the first time I saw him on stage, I knew I wanted to be in the music industry. I didn't want to be behind the microphone. I didn't want to sing. I wanted to be on the business end of it. So once I went to L.A., I did some acting, a little bit of modeling, some TV and film work, and I actually met a few bands. They were great, but they didn't have a distribution. They didn't have a record label. They didn't have anyone who actually believed in them. So what I did, I wrote up a business plan. I found some private investors, and then I started Dirty Records. And like I said, the moment I saw my dad on stage, I knew I wanted to be in the music industry. But once I started, promoting my bands, and once I, you know, just started creating a buzz and just being on the business side of it, I just became so passionate about it. So it was that passion that got me in to the business as an entrepreneur.
Wow. You know, and by the way, again, folks, her website for the music and also the film, which we'll talk about later, is Dirty Records, D-I-R-R-T-Y Records. Now, you know, I have to ask, why Dirty Records?
being in the Dirty South, and, you know, especially my small town, everything is, you know, farmland and dirty. So I just got Dirty Records. Instead of having D-I-R-T-Y, I just wanted to play around with it. So D-I-R-R, but just being from the Dirty South.
Okay. Well, you know, I find it, that's cool. You know, and it's, to me, you know, when it comes to the being an entrepreneur and creating, you know, something from just a business plan, you know, people quite often just overlook some of the basics, and that is naming your, you know, your project or whatever it is that you're going to follow. And I'm just always fascinated to find out, you know, why people name what they do. So, well, Dirty Records, tell us a little bit about it. What kind of talent do you record?
Yes. Well, it started out with punk music. So it started out with punk rock. One of the first artists on Dirty Records, D.H. Peligro from the Dead Kennedys. He was the drummer on the Dead Kennedys. And from that, the Fades and, you know, just a few other artists here in the U.S. and internationally. But now we do all genres, you know, everything from reggae to gospel to jazz, you name it. So it started out punk, but now it's all genre.
Well, good. Well, that's great. Several of those I enjoy very much, and I think it's good, I think, to be able to expand, you know, the variety, because I think that just only serves to give more recognition, you know, because a lot of times fans will tend to follow maybe one, two, or three at most different kinds of genres, you know, and, you know, if you get your name out there and, you know, go to Dirty Records, you know, they're the one to go to for this or that, then you're going to kind of, like you say, create that buzz.
Absolutely. And the great thing about being an independent record label, there's so much you can do out there. Everything is so hands-on. So, you know, just a lot of artists, they get lost in the shuffle. But with Dirty Records, we just make sure that, you know, we create out-of-the-box ways to promote them, just to let them know it's not just a business, we're also family. So a lot of artists really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. I've heard some real horror stories of, you know, the
Absolutely.
Way that, you know, and I think that's, you know, that's where, you know, startup businesses can really find their niche, is to give that personal service that, you know, gets lost in large corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, now, how do you recruit your talent, or are basically people referred to you?
Yeah, what they do, they send over a packet, you know, CD, artwork, also, you know, social media links. So they just send over as much promotional material as possible. We'll listen to it. We'll check out the social media they're following. Check out the music, of course, and if we're interested, we'll let them know. But yeah, they just submit material to us.
Okay, well, good. So you're still actively looking for people, right? I mean,
absolutely. Okay. We're always on the lookout.
Well, that's good. Well, that's good. You know, because a lot of times, you know, people just don't know where to go. You know, and as a matter of fact, I've had people come to me and ask me, you know, if there's, you know, they have a particular project and if I've ever talked to somebody that I can refer them to. So when it comes to music, I will be certain to refer people to you, you know, in your way.
Thank you.
Well, now, I noticed that your company is also, the music company is also part of the Grammys or recognized by the Grammys.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. We've been since 2005. So, yeah, so it's been a few years now. Absolutely.
Well, that's great. Now, I noticed on the website that you know, not only have the music, but you also have the Palmetto Films. And it was easy for me to to recognize Palmetto Films naming. It was no problem, South Carolina being the Palmetto State. Tell us, if you wouldn't mind, what's the film side as you're, you know, as far as, I noticed you produced a couple films.
Yes. The films, well, the music, Dirty Records, that started while I was in Los Angeles. The film side started once I came here to South Carolina. And see, one of the things with me after high school, like I said, I knew I wanted to be in the entertainment industry. So I, you know, caught the Greyhound and also hiked my way to Los Angeles. So I decided to move back to the Carolinas. I said, you know what? I want to give someone else an opportunity. You know, I don't want someone to have to, you know, leave, you know, their families and go 3,000 miles away from home like I did, you know, in order to pursue their dream. So that's why I started Palmetto Film Studios. So, yes, we've been from writing movies to, you know, just taking it from script to screen. And it's been a journey. It's been a lot of fun just recruiting local talent. So, yes. Yeah, and we do between 5 to 7 films a year.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but it's a little bit of everything now. It's not just feature films. We also do shorts. We do, you know, web series.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's a mixture of everything.
Wow. Yeah, now, do you have different teams put together for, like, the records and for the film? Or how do you have yourself structured to be able to manage the diversity?
Actually, we all just work together. So, no, there's not a team for, you know, Dirty Records or a team for Palmetto Film Studios. We all just work together and create. So, and I'm sure I wouldn't be able to afford all that, but yeah, we have a lot of fun doing movies and music.
Well, you know, I personally love, you know, that aspect. I mean, I think, you know, if you speak to anyone who is creatively inclined, you know, they are really, I think people appreciate the opportunity to express, you know, that creativity in many different ways. So it sounds like you can kind of give your team or your group, you know, kind of full rein to just to maximize however they feel is best for the project.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about that, go back to that trip from South Carolina to L.A. and kind of how, you know, all that started. Because, you know, when I read your bio, you know, and saw the, you know, kind of swinging from, you know, French fries and Burger King to moving out to L.A. and becoming a model, I thought, you know, I bet that is every Burger King and South Carolina workers' dream is to be able to do something like that. But it's truly, you know, to me, that was the one inspirational aspect. So if you wouldn't mind, take us back to that time and what was your thought process and, you know, maybe some of your fears or your aspirations during that time?
Yeah, during that time, for one, I grew up poor. We didn't live in the projects, but the house next to them. And whenever I hitchhiked or, you know, took Greyhound to Los Angeles, as far as being scared, I wasn't scared. I knew the only way for me was up, and I was going to take whatever opportunity I could. Most of my friends during that time either ended up in jail or, you know, are pregnant or, you know, who knows what else. And I didn't want that. I wanted more. So, you know, like I said, during that time, I wasn't afraid. I had a dream. I had passion. And I just felt, hey, with God, all things are possible. And I went for it. Like I said, once I got there, it was okay in the beginning, but then I ended up homeless. Then I ended up crashing on a few couches here and there. I also slept on the beach. I slept in, you know, a van. Most people would have just crumbled and came back to South Carolina, but I said, no, I'm going to stick it out. You know, I know it must get better, and it did.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I mean, that aspect of, you know, of being homeless and, you know, I mean, see, that just, to me, just adds so much, you know, dimension to your story, to your journey, because, you know, at times like that, you know, like you say, many people will crumble, many people will ditch their dream, you know, and kind of go back to what they may feel their destiny was, you know, whether it be, you know, working in the factory or, you know, working in the family business or whatever, you know. But, you know, that persistence, I think, is really what distinguishes someone from, you know, being successful to someone who kind of makes life their own rather than let life make them.
I agree. What I went through, I would never recommend it, because looking back, I'm like, my gosh, I can't believe I did that. But like I said, it was just that passion, not giving up.
So now, when you were there in L.A., what came first? We had the modeling and we had the acting aspect. I'm curious about that. I mean, if anyone can, I have your photo in the photo rotation on the show page. So if anybody looks at that or looks at your Facebook page, they can see model in an instant. there's no doubt this woman is a beauty. What came first? How did that kind of unfold?
Yeah, what came first? I had a friend. I was crashing on her couch. She had an agent. And she told me, she said, you know what, I'm going on this commercial audition. You should tag along with me. And I thought, you know what, I'm broke. I don't have much money. I don't have anything to lose. Let me just go along with her, see what this is about. So I went, I auditioned. I actually booked the job. So once I booked that and I got my first check, I said, you know what, I can really make money from this. So that's what came first, commercial modeling.
Okay. Well, I could see that. And you see, you know, the one of the keys there, you know, is that you have a friend who kind of made that connection for you, you know, and I think, you know, that's something that, you know, many people can take from this, you know, is that you just never know what can happen for someone if you just go that extra effort, put forth that extra effort to make some connection with someone. Yeah. So modeling came, then how did the acting come into play?
Yeah, so after that modeling gig, her agent signed me, and she sent me out on an audition for the show Vital Signs, and that was actually my first real acting gig. So once again, I went for that audition. I booked that role. It was actually shot here. Well, not here in South Carolina, but here in the U.S. It was filmed in L.A., but it was shown in Germany. And from that, we just used that, got my reel together, sent that out to casting directors and producers, and that just led to other movies and television shows and commercials.
Wow, that's great. We know. I mean, I think that's just wonderful. You know, to be able to do that, and you know, and kind of and just kind of make that effort and kind of see that unfold for you. And so now, where is your time spent now? Do you do modeling still, acting still, or where does London suffer time now?
I do acting. I moved back to the Carolinas, and I spend a lot of time traveling from Atlanta to North Carolina, sometimes in New York. But yes, I'm just working on the East Coast. I recently booked a movie called The Eighth Woman, and that's a television movie. It's going to be shown on BET. I also booked another movie called The Lake House. That will be shown in theaters, and another horror movie called Last of Our Days. So I have three movies coming up this summer, spring, and funny enough, I'm booking more movies down here than I did in L.A. So that is so funny. How ironic.
That is. Yeah, I mean, you know, I lived in the Long Beach area, so I mean, I know California, and I know a lot of filming in New Mexico, because I lived there. And then when I saw Palmetto Films, I thought, you know, I don't think of South Carolina, or Carolinas, really, when I think of film. But I actually just attended a screening. A gentleman out of Charlotte did a documentary, and it was all filmed in South Carolina and in Charlotte, in North Carolina. And I mean, I was stunned. It was just wonderful.
Yes, a lot of stuff has been done in Atlanta. Absolutely, Wilmington. Iron Man 3 was filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina. I did Will the Millers with Jennifer Aniston. Excuse me, that was filmed in North Carolina. Under the Dome, the CBS television show. There's a lot of stuff being done in North Carolina.
Wow, Under the Dome was one of my favorites. Wow. Well, what you know, when it comes to acting, now, that was never on your radar to be an actor, actress?
Absolutely not. It was music. That was on my radar, music. Yeah. But like I said, once I booked that first gig and I saw, man, I could make some money from this, and I went for it.
There you go. Yeah. Well, show me the money. Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the things that I think, it seems to me that, you know, each step of the way that you had, that you were kind of guided, you know, the people were brought to you and connections were made that kind of led you on basically on a path to success. Now, I'm not saying that you didn't put forth the effort. Obviously, it takes a lot of work to do that. But it seems like, you know, there were many different opportunities that you hadn't maybe considered, but were presented to you.
Absolutely. I mean, within that time, I did have some naysayers, too. You know, like I said, my company, the record label, started out with punk music. And a lot of people said, you know what, a black woman cannot run and own a punk record label. Or, you know, and as far as the music side, you know, on the television and film side, you know, there was a lot of, you know, as far as the casting couch, you know, some, you know, directors or producer, hey, you know, you go out with me, then I'll cast you. So it had some negativity. But once again, I just put it behind me and kept my head up and kept moving forward.
So that casting couch isn't just a myth? I mean, that truly exists still?
That exists, absolutely. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yes, it does. It does. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Well,
you know,
I
but as an actress,
loud,
that's real. Say that again. Wait, repeat that. I'm sorry.
I said I could see them asking you out, but still, you know, to make it like that, you know. Boy,
oh, I
that's
hear
really
you.
Something.
But, yeah, but at that point, you know, it's like, man, will you cast me because of my talent or just because you want to take me out?
Yeah.
You know, so the industry can be really shady. And that's one of the things I love about, you know, being here in the Southeast and, you know, Georgia, North Carolina. It's more about talent. Where in L.A.
Okay.
is completely different. So different.
Wow. Huh. So the geographic areas, I mean, you run across more, it's a little bit more ethical kind of as far as the dealings here in the Southeast?
Correct. Absolutely. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh. Now, we talked about naysayers. Were they primarily industry naysayers, or were there people in your circle, you know, friends and family, that were also part of the naysayers?
A little bit of both. Industry, also a few people that, you know, I went to see if they wanted to invest in my business. You know, a lot of them felt, hey, look, I'm not investing in this. It's not going to be successful. There's no way you're a black woman. You will not, or this business won't do. So I just had to surround myself with people who believed in my vision and also people who was just as passionate about it as myself. And I was so lucky that, you know, I found those people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen, just in some of the things that I've done too, I've had those naysayers, you know, around me, and I've just learned that really I just have to brush them off, you know. I mean, in the sense that, you know, they don't have a clue of my vision, you know, they don't have, you know, many times they're not risk takers. Don't you think you have to kind of be a risk taker in order to venture out to do the entrepreneurial thing?
You have to be a risk taker. And also, you know, for myself, for the first 6 months to a year, I didn't see any money. It's all about risk.
You know, by the way, we're gonna take just a quick break in about 3 or 4 minutes. And so I just want to let everyone know we're going to take just a short 2-minute break at the bottom of the hour. And if you are listening and you would like to call in and ask London any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And if you're listening live in the chat room, and it looks like we have Corrine and Elmar from New Zealand listening, if you have any questions you'd like for me to pose to London, just feel free to type them in, and I'll be sure to pass them on to her. And when we come back, London, I'm going to want to talk about politics. I saw that you're also a politician on top of everything else, or you have political inclinations. But before we get to that, with the surrounding, you know, yourself with people who are supportive, do you find it that you have to adjust that particular circle of friends and acquaintances as you go through life and through your various forms of projects that you do?
No, I have not. I have not had to adjust any of that. I've been very fortunate. Everyone's been very supportive.
That's good. Well, then,
not at all.
To me, that tells me you've got a good, solid core that you draw from.
I'm very fortunate. Yes, I do. Like I said, from friends to family, they're very proud of me. They're very, like I said, very supportive. So, yes, I do have a great core of good people around me.
Well, that's wonderful. Okay, everyone, we're going to take just, again, that quick 90-second break. And when we return, we'll continue on with London. So, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store, where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest is London Dilliam. And again, she is an actress, model, music entrepreneur, filmmaker, politician. You can find out more about London. She is also founder of and CEO of Dirty Records, and that's DIRRTY Records.com. And I have a direct link to her website there in the show page description. And again, in the description as well is a couple of YouTube videos. One of them is from the series Vital Signs that she mentions in the first half of the show. and the other is a trailer from Somebody's Child. And again, there's also a direct link to her page at IMDb, the independent movie database, imdb.me. So with all of that in the show page description. So, London, we're back.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, in addition to being all of those roles that we talked about already, you're politically active?
Yes, actually, I ran for city council
And
in my hometown.
What? Yeah, and I'm happy to see it was on that you're a member of the Democratic Women's Democratic Women's Council. So, I thought, okay,
absolutely,
so,
yeah.
We can talk then. I don't have to be careful with her. I have a Democratic leaning myself, so. So tell us about that. I mean, you know, why did you do that? And tell us about, you know, your interest in politics.
Well, coming back home, like I said a few minutes ago, I didn't live in the projects, but right next door to them. And mm-hmm. also most of my, you know, friends growing up while they're in jail are, you know, pregnant. When I came back home, nothing's changed. Everything's still the same. So I just felt that, hey, someone needs to get in there, roll up, you know, their sleeves, and at least try to make a change. And that's what I did, and that's what I'm currently doing. So that was my whole motivation for running for office.
Okay. So now, and this is, and I've only lived in South Carolina for about 6 years. And so, mm-hmm. and when I moved here, it was a culture shock. It was, mm-hmm. You know, because I grew up in upstate New York, spent most of my college mm-hmm. and adult life in California, you know, in Long Beach and San Francisco area, and lived in Vegas, mm-hmm. you know. So coming to South Carolina, it was like, whoa, what did I do? And, you know, and it is beautiful. I mean, it's an absolutely beautiful place to live. The people are fabulous, you know, wonderful people. Mm-hmm. But things change so slowly. I mean,
you're so right.
And it's, you know, I'm just, I don't know, I don't know if it's the heavy food that we eat down here, but, you know, it's just, and I don't know, do you find that, you know, with your activity, that maybe you are kind of bringing in some of that, you know, that need for change, that drive, you know, what drove you to kind of go west and achieve your dreams, you know, and that type of thing. Do you find that your activity, you know, in the political area is to try to instill that in the people and maybe bring hope where they're maybe
been? Absolutely. And, you know, that's what I try to do. But a lot of people aren't ready for it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, to get out there and roll up my sleeves and, you know, try to make change and try to help out. A lot of them are happy where they're at. So at that point, you know, I'm like, what else can I do?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. You know, that's just a really good question. You know, because when you get to that point, you know, and I've known a lot of people who, like in my neighborhood, who have lived all of their life, you know, in the Myrtle Beach or Conway area, that kind of thing, and mm-hmm. have never traveled, have not seen anything outside, you know, their county. And, mm-hmm. You know, and when it comes time to talking to them about just, you know, the world, you know, in the incredible different perspectives that people have, they're at a
yeah.
loss. And I'm just, you know, and like you say, a lot of them are, a lot of people are happy. And you know, and I guess maybe I'm trying to instill my values or judgment system, you know, value system on them. Maybe, you know, I should just, you know, be happy that they're happy, you know, with what they're doing. But it seems like, you know, like you say, you know, you had that drive because you knew that there was something better for you than
yes. And the sad part is in my county, it's actually Marion County, but I live in Mullins, and it has the highest unemployment rate in South Carolina. You know, so much poverty. It is heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, there's only, you know, I get out and I try, but there's only so much I can do. And some of the local politicians, you know, they're not doing much in the community, but when it comes time, you know, voting time, what they'll do is get a truck, come through the community, pick up as many people as they can, go out in the country, feed them barbecue, hey, vote for me. You know, these people will vote them in office. Oh, thank you for feeding me. And, you know, it's right back to where they started. And it is very sad.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's it has to be, I guess the key to that is maybe trying to, for lack of a better phrase, work the system, you know, to try and maybe bring whatever kind of light that you can, you know, in through what they know, in ways that they know.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I agree.
Wow. Well, now, let's see. What you talked about a couple upcoming films. Anything up and coming with Dirty Records?
I do have a band. They're a very young band, a punk band. They've been working on their album for a few months now. So they're working on that. We're still trying to fine-tune some stuff, and, you know, they will... We'll try to release that. But right now, we're just trying to get all the kinks out. So, and they're called The Good Night. So we're still we're still working on that. So, you know, musically, it's still a work in progress for a few artists.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, with the advent of, like, iTunes and the digital music age, how does that fit in with, you know, the idea of having a a production company and signing artists? I mean, because, you know, people can record something now and get it out there. So
exactly.
how do you maximize the new music?
Right. Like I said, it's thinking outside the box. Whenever I first started Dirty Records, there was no Facebook, there was no, Twitter, there was none of that. And to be honest, now there's really no need for an artist to have a record label because they can, you know, talk directly to customers or, you know, sell directly to customers.
Uh-huh.
So as an independent label, we have to come up with out-of-the-box ways. You know,
okay.
Yeah, there's social media, but, you know, also there's touring, publishing, you know, now that's pretty much the way to make money is publishing. You know, a couple of our artists, we get their music into, you know, commercials, we get them on, you know, into film, you know, some jingles here or there. So that's where the money really is. It's not in selling records.
Yeah, well, see, that, to me, that's interesting because I wondered, you know, where's the money? I mean, because quite often, you know, artists, I mean, you know, the struggling musician kind of scenario of, you know, how are they going to actually, you know, pay, you know, with their craft? So, okay,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to know that there's still value that can be added.
Oh, absolutely, yes. The money is in publishing and touring.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, you know, as far as the whole, you know, inspirational side of things, the name of my show is Bringing Inspiration to Earth. What gives you inspiration?
My family gives me inspiration. That's also one of the reasons why I moved back to the Carolinas. My dad, he had 3 heart attacks. And, you know, after a while, living in L.A. is okay. Being in the business is, you know, it's also okay. But there's nothing like family. So my family gives me inspiration. person. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, and it's really good that you have, you know, the family there that you're able to, you know, to draw from. Now, you said your daddy was in the gospel, was a gospel singer?
Yes, he was in a gospel band. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so they took gospel in your genes?
I do. Oh, yes. You know, I love, you know, Mahalia Jackson and the gospel keynotes. And, yeah, I grew up on that.
Yeah, I love her, too. I just to have her on my iPhone. I love it when it picks her out in my randomness. So, well, let's see here. You know, as far as we talked about the music and the modeling, anything else coming? You mentioned the films. Now, where can we, you know, find out about the films? You're on Facebook, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I keep updates on Facebook and also Twitter.
Okay, great. Okay, I think we've connected on Facebook. I'm going to definitely make sure that we connect on Twitter. And now as far as these upcoming bands, we're going to keep our eye open for that. Let's see, any other aspect of what you're working on maybe that I didn't mention?
You know, once again, just, you know, out in the community. Like I said, I ran for council a few years ago. I plan to do it again. So just getting out in the community and just trying to help, trying to change things. A lot of people ask, they say, God, why are you still here? Why don't you go back to L.A.? I'm like, no, I'm here. I came back home for a reason. And, you know, just politics, acting, and music. So, yeah, you pretty much touched on it.
Well, that's good. Now, what do you find is probably the most difficult aspect? Let's talk right about that in each of those areas. So let's just say since music is the key, what do you find is probably one of the most difficult or the most challenging aspects to being a music? Now, is it the producer or how would you?
I own the label, the independent record label. I say the most challenging, like I said, is thinking outside the box. Now with social media, you have to come up with new ways to, you know, to make money, to build buzz, to get your artists out there. And, you know, finding a good publisher, like I said, someone who can get, you know, the artist music and TV, film, also commercials. So, yeah, just thinking outside the box.
Yeah. So now, you know, with a publisher, how does that work with, I mean, I know how it works with books. So is it the same kind of thing with music? Do you have, you know, individual, I mean, are there like multiple publishers that you work with?
A publisher is sort of like an agent.
Yeah.
What they do, they pitch your material to film companies and, you know, advertisers. So yeah, so they pitch the music to advertisers basically.
Okay. And do producers specialize in different types of music?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know absolutely nothing about the music industry. So, I mean, this is...
Oh, yeah, it's a bit of everything.
Okay.
Yes, you know, so, from heavy metal to you name it.
So, as a label owner, then you work on building relationships with multiple produced music publishers to get to promote your variety of artists, correct? Right.
There you go. Actually, there's one publishing company that we're currently working with. But yeah,
okay.
Just building that relationship, sort of the middleman. So yeah.
Okay. All right. And so that one publisher, you kind of you say we've got this artist or we've got this upcoming I mean, do they have like access to your entire library kind of thing to be able
yes,
to do?
Yes, they do. They sure okay. do. Yep.
Mm. Wow, that's interesting. I never knew that part. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I love that. Now, that was since that's the challenging part in the music. Let's try the acting. You know, that was not on your radar, and mm-hmm. you obviously have a variety of jobs. I mean, and you said you were going to have another horror film, and I know there was one in the past, but then there's also, you know, like Lifetime type or Hallmark type of thing. What's, you know, with acting, is there any particular, you know, genre or type that you like doing, or what? Tell me a little bit about your experience with film.
You know, I love it all. In the beginning, I was doing a lot of horror movies. I was doing a lot of movies. Since I've moved to the Southeast, I'm doing a lot of, you know, like you said, Hallmark. I'm playing, you know, from nurse to therapist to mom. So I love it all. I just love being able to, you know, break down a script, become that character, being on set. I love all of it. And okay. As far as one of the challenges, in the Southeast, I don't have many challenges down here. I'm very blessed where I've set up my own studio and I'm able to audition and send it to my agent, and she'll send it over to the casting director. So that's great. In L.A., one of the challenges were going on an audition, and there'd be about 200 other actresses who look just like myself. So mm-hmm. that was the challenge in L.A., but in the Southeast, no.
Well, I have to say, they couldn't all look like you.
Oh, you're too much. Look at you.
But
you're making me blush.
Well, you're right. But you know, that's nice to know too. You know, because you know, here in the in the Southeast, you know, I think a lot of people don't recognize the fact that is, you know, there's an alternative, you know, to the LA scene and being able to be involved in that. And, you know, I think just knowing what you do and that it is possible, and it's actually even has a lot of benefits where the LA, you know, aspect doesn't, you know, to me that's encouraging for anybody, whether they work at Burger King or you know, mm-hmm. Kmart, you know, that you know, if that's something that they feel passionate about, that's something that they can follow.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, modeling. Are you doing any more modeling, or is that kind of, did that run its course?
No, that ran its course a few years mm-hmm. ago. So, no, maybe a commercial here and there, but besides that, no.
Yeah.
No.
Now, I understand in 2009 you actually recorded a song, a dance song. Turned it up?
I did. You know, I had a studio. I was in the studio with my engineer, and he came up with this great beat. And I said, you know what, let me play around with that. So I got behind the mic, and nothing professional. It was just for fun. But it ended up being, like, I don't know, on the dance charts or, I don't know, some DJ. He played it on his radio show or something, but it ended up making this great buzz. So, yeah, I was just in the studio having fun, and somebody loved it.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, I think that's, you know, I mean, to me, it sounds like you just, if you're drawn to something and something just pops up, that you just go ahead and do it. It seems like you don't have any fear with that. Is that, am I mistaken with that, or is there maybe a little bit of apprehension with some of the new things?
You know what? I'm just having fun. So, you know, it's what, why be fearful when, I mean, what is there to lose? I mean, even with the song, I did it, you know, the DJ, you know, played it. You know, what was there to lose? I was having fun with it. People didn't like it. Yeah. Oh, well. I enjoyed it.
There you go. Well, no, you know, and see, I mean, to me, that's the important thing. You know, if you're having fun, then, you know, just go with it. And not worry about, you know, the degree of success or not, you know, whether people will like it or not. Just mm-hmm. if you enjoy it, just do it. Mm.
There you go. Absolutely.
Well, I noticed also on Dirty Records, you've got a merchandise side of things, too. I mean, it's not only doing music, but you're also doing it, tank tops and all kinds of stuff as well.
Yeah, Rock Junkie. Yeah, the name of it's Rock Junkie, you know, from tank tops to, you know, leather pants, anything that's related to rock music. That's, you know, we put it out there. So, yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, I mean, you, I wouldn't have been able to keep up with you. You know, it's just, so, well, anyway, you know, this, I really enjoyed chatting with you. This is, you know, one of the things that I truly enjoy is speaking with people like you who have, who recognize, you know, that they've got a passion, that life has more for them. And actually goes out and does it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. So any final words that you have maybe that you might want to bring into the listening audience? Because we're worldwide here.
my motto is use your stumbling blocks as stepping stones. You know, and that's one of the things I've been doing. So, you know, if anyone's listening and they're a little apprehensive about, you know, going after something they've been, you know, wanting to do, go for it. Go for mm-hmm. it.
Wow. Yeah, and I actually had one of the listeners in the chat room just was interested in recognizing that you accept material from all kinds of bands. So I have a feeling that she's going to be sending somebody your way. So that would be
Please
good.
Please do.
Yeah, well, it was great. Well, you know, Blendon, this has really been fun, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Well, very much. Oh, great. And again, I look forward to following your journey on Facebook and Twitter and seeing you in the films that are upcoming, listening to the music, and boy, I just, you're a true inspiration to me, so I appreciate that. And also, thank you for your activism in trying to make a difference in here in South Carolina. You know, we really need people who can shed a light, you know, on the, you know, the challenges that some of the people in our area have, because it's, mm-hmm. it's a big one.
Sure is. You're so right.
All right. Well, thank you again. And who knows? Now, are you currently, you said you moved back to South Carolina, so you're living here now in South Carolina, huh?
Yes, I'm in the Carolinas. I travel, like I said, throughout the Southeast and from time to time out west to L.A. But, yeah, I am here in the Carolinas.
Well, you know, someday we'll have to meet. I go up to Spartanburg a lot, so I pass through that area.
Oh, great.
Often. So one of these days I would just enjoy very much meeting you in person and just giving you a big hello. So we'll have to do that
Please
sometime.
Please do. I'm going to hold you to that.
Oh, I will. Trust me. Okay. Well, thank you, London.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, no, you're welcome.
You have a great day. Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you. You as well. Bye-bye. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been London De Leon, and she is, again, an actress, model, music entrepreneur, filmmaker, politician. If you have anybody in the music industry who is looking for someone to be a label that maybe accepts submissions, definitely send them her way, and maybe they can do something for your friends. So definitely do that. Again, you can find out more about her at her label web address, which is www.dirtyrecords.com, and that's DirtyRecords.com. And again, I do have a direct link to that in the show page description, as well as in the description is a couple scenes on YouTube, one from her television series Vital Signs, and the other one is a trailer for Somebody's Child. And again, also information about her in the independent movie database as well. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.